الحمد لله الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا وحبيبنا ومولانا محمدًا عبده ورسوله أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وسارعوا إلى مغفرة من ربكم وجنة عرضها السماوات والأرض أعدت للمتقين Sadaqallahul Azeem. My most respected brothers and elders, the illustrious Sahaba of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the noble companions of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they would often go to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and ask Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Ayyul a'mali ahabbu ila Allahi ta'ala. Which action is most beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And the reason for them asking these questions was so that they could practice on these good deeds that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would show them. Sometimes a sahabi would say, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, dullani ala amalin idha amiltuhu dakhaltu al-jannah. Show me an action, if I do it, I will go to Jannah, paradise. So these were the types of questions that would come and ask Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which is the best action? Give me an action that I can do, I'll get Jannah. How I can get closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, etc. They were very desirous of doing good deeds that will please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the moment they learned something from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they would practice upon that immediately. There was no procrastination in their lives. They learned something, they would make amal immediately. And then they would preserve that action in their life. And if they missed a good action, then it would cause them a lot of remorse and regret and nadamat. That is why Hazrat Abdullah bin Mas'ud radiyallahu ta'ala, the great sahabi of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, there's so much to mention in his biography that we'll never be able to do justice. But he was that sahabi who on one occasion when he climbed a tree, and because he had very thin legs and the wind blew slightly and his shins were exposed, and some people who were around, they began to laugh at his very thin feet, or his shins were very, very thin. And Rasulullah immediately said that these 2 feet of Abdullah bin Mas'ud on the day of Qiyamah will be more stable and firm than the Mount of Uhud. This was the caliber of this sahabi of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Despite all the good blessings that they received from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the accolades, Hazrat Abdullah bin Mas'ud radiallahu anhu say, "Ma nadimtu ala shay'in ندمي على يوم غربت فيه شمسه نقص فيه أجلي ولم يزيد فيه عملي." He says, "I never regret anything in my life as much as I regret that day in my life that the sun has now set," meaning the day is over. "نَقَصَ فِيهِ أَجَلِي," my lifespan is becoming
lesser now. I'm more closer to death. وَلَمْ يَزِدْ فِيهِ عَمَلِي And my action has not increased. We know the Sahaba radiallahu anhu ajma'in, as I mentioned in the beginning, they were so desirous of doing more and more good actions. And despite all this, he says, I regret that day that goes past in my life. My time is coming closer to death, and I have not, in his humility, I have not done more good actions. If you look at the Quran and Majid, there are three words. وَسَارِعُوا إِلَىٰ مَغْفِرَةٍ رَبِّكُمْ The word sari' musara'ah means to hasten, to rush, to hurry. The other word sabiqu, to outdo the other person. And the third word, وَفِي ذَلِكَ فَلْيَتَنَافَسْ That tanafus, again, need to vie and compete with one another. All this is for jannat, for maghfirat, for doing good deeds. In the hadith of Rasulullah ﷺ, the word used is badiru, hasten, hurry, rush, not delay in doing good deeds. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants from us that we should learn what deeds are going to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and hasten in doing those good deeds. Do not procrastinate. When a person is going to procrastinate, he will miss that action. And when he misses that action, it will only bring him remorse and regret. And you look at the lives of Sahaba radiallahu anhu again, because these were the Salafi Saliheen. Hazrat Abdullah bin Umar radiallahu anhuma, very great Sahabi of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, just one point, that he was so particular in following the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Every action he would imitate that of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam to such an extent that when he was going for Hajj, then he comes suddenly, he's mounted on his camel, there is no obstacle, there is no tree, there is nothing in front of him, and people who had accompanied him on that journey suddenly see Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhuma lowering his head as though he was going under a branch of a tree. And they inquire from him that why have you done so? He says, when I accompanied the Master sallallahu alaihi wasallam during his Hajj journey, it was this spot. I remember very well, there was a tree here and there was a branch here, and Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam lowered his head to go past, to go under safely, and that is why I'm also doing the same. To that extent, there was no urge to relieve himself. He had no taqaza, as we say. But he comes to a spot, and as though he's relieving himself, and then he wakes up. People ask him, what happened here? He said, it was the same spot when Rasulullah was traveling. This was the place where he relieved himself. I'm following this sunnah as well. One day, a janazah salah takes place. He attends the janazah, and now he's going off home. When somebody tells him, أَمَا سَمِعْتَ أَبَا هُرَيْرَ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ تَرَانِ Did you not hear Abu Huraira رَضِيَ اللَّهُ quoting a hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? He said, what's the hadith? He says, that person who attends the janaza salah of the deceased, and then he follows the janaza to the qabrastan, فَلَهُ قِرَاطَان For him is two qirat. And one qirat is equivalent in reward to the Mount of Uhud. So you're getting two mountains, the size of the mountain of Uhud, in reward. Can you imagine? You attend the janaza, one mountain of sawab. But if you even go to the qabrastan and you attend the burial, then you get two qirat. Abdullah bin Umar radiallahu anhuma was unaware of that particular hadith and its reward. He sat down. He sends some person to go and verify the hadith from Hazrat Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu ta'ala anha, the mother of the believers. And he's sitting in deep concentration and thoughts, just thinking what is going to be the reply and the answer. And he has some pebbles in his hand, so absorbed and thinking about what has happened. And then yes, the answer comes, yes. She has verified this hadith that person who has attended the janazah salah, Then he follows the janaza to the qabristan and he attends the burial until the person is buried. He gives two qiraat, so much of reward equivalent to the Mount of Uhud. What was his response to this? He says, "Kam dayya'na min qararit. Kam dayya'na min qararit." How many qiraat, how much of sawab we missed out. There were so many times in my life I could have attended the qabristan also, but I didn't realize the reward of this, so I did not go. How much of reward I missed out in my life. As I mentioned in the beginning, the sahaba, if they missed out any good deed, it will cause them remorse and lament. Ask ourselves, how many good amal we miss out? So many rewards every single day, whereas Allah has instructed us in the Quran, wasari'u, hasten, rash, hurry, jaldi karo, go towards the maghfirat of Allah, go towards the jannah that Allah has prepared. The same Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhu, I mentioned his point about what a caliber of sahabi he was and how he followed the sunnah. And as the sahaba would learn, they'll bring that into their lives. One day he was busy in his garden, in his orchard. And then by the time he came for salah, the jamaat salah just terminated. It caused him such grief, such pain. He didn't miss his salah, no. He missed the jamaat. It was Asr salah. He missed the jamaat of Asr salah. When he just came to the masjid, namaz had just terminated. The imam just said, "Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah." This caused him such regret that immediately he announced, "O people, I am making you witness, ushidukum ala anna ha'iti, that this garden of mine, this orchard, is from now on sadaqah for the Muslims. I've given it away in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala." The poor sahaba, they come to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They complain, "Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, dhahaba ahlu dusuri bin na'im al-muqimi wa darajat al-ula." The rich sahaba, they have taken away those high positions in lofty positions in Jannah. Why is it? So the sahaba explained, "Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, nasumu kama yasumun." We read salat like how they read salat. We fast like how they fast. Okay, rewards are equal now. We both bring the actions. But they have surplus wealth with which they can give sadaqah. We don't have that wealth. So they're going to get more reward. يَحُجُّونَ وَيَعْتَمِرُونَ. These are words of the hadith. وَيُعْتِقُونَ. They are able to perform in Hajj and Umrah. They are able to free slaves. They have the money. Their reward is getting higher and higher. They will get loftier positions in Jannah than us. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam teaches them, after every salah, all you got to do is read 33 times Subhanallah, 33 times Alhamdulillah, and 33 times Allahu Akbar, or one rewrite, 34 times Allahu Akbar. Then you will be far ahead everybody else. You will precede them. And nobody will catch you up except the person who does exactly like what you will do. They are so overjoyed. What a powerful wazifa from Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They are busy after every salah reading something. The rich sahaba observe this. They too are curious. They come, "Wait, what are you reading?" He said, "Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught us to read this. If we read this, we'll be far ahead." So the rich sahaba also started reading the same thing. After every salah, they also started reading Subhanallah 33 times, Alhamdulillah 33 times, 34 times, Allahu Akbar. The poor sahaba go back to Rasulullah. "Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam," they also doing the same now. Then Rasulullah says, "Dhalika fadlullah yu'tihi man yasha." Well, that is the favor of Allah Ta'ala, he gives whoever he wishes. But the point here is, look how desirous they were in reaching the lofty positions in the akhirat. Allah must forgive us. We must become closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We must do more and more deeds that will be such that Allah will become pleased with us. Like this, there are so many other incidents. A narrator by the name of Amr bin Aus, he hears a hadith from Ambasah. And Ambasah hears a hadith from Ummu Habiba radiallahu ta'ala anha, the beloved wife of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And what is this hadith? Whoever reads Man salla thinti rak'atan fi yawmin walilah buniya lahu baytun fil jannah. That person who reads 12 rakats, he's not talking about the fard. 12 rakats in a day, then for him a palace is built in Jannah. A home is built for him in Jannah. 12 rakats. Ulama then explain what these 12 rakats are. The 2 sunnat of Fajr, the 4 sunnat of Dhuhr before the Fard, the 2 sunnat after Dhuhr, the 2 sunnat of Maghrib, and the 2 sunnat of Isha. These are the 12 rakats that the ulama have explained. So whoever reads these 12 rakats, then he will get an abode for him in Jannah. Amr bin Aus says that I heard this hadith from Ambasa. He heard it from Ummu Habiba radiallahu ta'ala anha. Each one remarked, from the very day I heard this hadith, immediately I practice upon it right till this very day when I'm narrating the hadith. So again, we see Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala so eager to learn, so desirous of practicing upon the various ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, so that they may gain the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Junayd Baghdadi rahmatullahi alayhi, a sage of his time, he's now on the throes of death, almost leaving this dunya. We know what condition it is. At that time, a person wants to see his wife, his children, etc. Maybe some parting advice. Somebody enters the tomb and he finds Junayd Baghdadi rahmatullahi alayhi reciting Quran Majid. So he tells him, Afi hadhi al-hala, in this condition, O Junayd, that you are still reading Quran now. He says, Inni ubadiru tayya sahifa. Inni ubadiru tayya sahifa. Just now my life will come to an end. My nama ya amal, my register of good deeds, it will close. I'm trying to beat the closing of my book and quickly read the Quran. At least the last few actions, or the last action before I pass away, is recitation of the Kalam al-Majid of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because the moment the kitab will close, then it is all over. Even in that condition, because the minds, the hearts were focused to what? The maghfirat of Allah, the jannat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Just the breath of jannat, the breath of jannat is the distance between the skies and the earth. You can imagine the length of jannah. And this is for us to understand. Umair ibn Hammam radiallahu ta'ala, it is the battle taking place against the enemy. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam encourages the sahaba, and he recites the very same verse I recited in the beginning of the khutbah. وَسَارِعُوا إِلَىٰ مَغْفِرَةٍ مِّن رَبِّكُمْ وَجَنَّةٍ عَرْضُهَا السَّمَاوَاتُ وَالْأَرْضُ. That hasten towards the Jannah, the breadth of which is the distance between the sky and the earth. Umair bin Hammam radiallahu ta'ala, he verifies this from Rasulullah sallallahu. Such a big Jannah. He has in his hand two or three dates. He puts that aside and he plunges into the battlefield. Somebody asks him, Umair, what's the matter? Why don't you finish your dates first? He said, by the time I chew these two or three dates, إِنَّهَا لَحَيَاتٌ طَوِيلًا, it'll be a long time. I don't have time to waste. When Allah has promised me that Jannah, which is so massive and so huge, why should I then delay? Another Sahabi of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Abu Dahda radiallahu ta'ala. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is sitting with Sahaba. He's sitting amidst them. When one youngster comes and he complains to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, I've got a garden in my house, in front of my house. I wish to erect a wall between my garden and the neighbor's garden. But the neighbor's date tree, is on the way. And he refuses to give it to me or sell it to me. I begged him that sell it to me. He refuses. Rasulullah summons that person.
and tell them, see, your neighbor wants to build this wall, this tree is in the way, it's an obstacle, why don't you give it to him? He says, no. Okay, sell it to him. He says, no. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam offers him that, listen here, sell him the date tree in lieu of a date tree in paradise. He still refused. Where is this discussion is taking place? Abu Dahdah radiallahu anhu had just entered and he heard this conversation. He goes to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, ya Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, will I also get a date tree if I'm prepared to convince his brother to sell him, to sell me his date tree? Rasulullah said, yes. He goes to that person, that neighbor of this young person. He says, do you know of my orchard? He said, yes, because Abu Dahdah radiallahu anhu's orchard was well known amongst the Sahaba. It had the best type of khajur and dates. It was very famous. Premium quality dates he had. He says, sell me the date tree of yours, which is an obstruction to your neighbor. He wants to build the wall. I will give you my entire orchard, which consisted of 600 date trees. The man is happy. He says, take it. And Rasulullah hears this. He becomes so happy, so happy, so happy. Abu Dahdah radiallahu anhu says, ya Rasulullah, will I get that one date tree? Rasulullah says that not one date tree, Allah has given you in lieu of this several date trees I cannot even count. He goes to this orchard from outside. He shouts to his wife and children who are inside. He doesn't enter the garden. He says, oh my beloved wife, Ummat Dahda, I have just sold this garden to so and so person. It no longer belongs to us. Please exit this orchard immediately. He asked him, what price? He said, in lieu of a tree, date tree in paradise. Brothers, we know what our wives will do to us. Do you know this Sahabiya radiallahu anha, what she says? What was her response? She says, Rabiha bay'uk, Rabiha bay'uk. Oh, what a wonderful deal you have made. What a profitable deal you have made. And immediately she comes out. It is mentioned even the children who were busy eating the date were told to remove the date because it no longer belongs to us. I have made the deal. I've sold it to somebody else. Ali, the son of Hussein radiallahu ta'ala, who is the son of Ali radiallahu ta'ala. So this is Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala's grandson. He has a slave and he wants to sell the slave. People offered him a price. One person offered him 1,000 dirhams. 1,000 dirhams at that time was a very huge price. He refuses. He sets the slave free. He says, because I heard the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam that whoever frees a slave in this dunya, Allah will free him and emancipate him from the fire of Jahannam. Whatever price you give me is nothing compared to my freedom from the fire of Jahannam. Hazrat Jabir radiallahu ta'ala an, Jabir ibn Abdullah radiallahu ta'ala an, he undertakes a journey of one entire month, talking about more than 1,400 plus years ago, on a camel, very long journey, tedious journey. It's hot. He's traveling for 1 month. He goes to the house of Abdullah bin Unais radiallahu ta'ala. When that Sahabi, when he reached there, Jabir reached there, that Sahabi was still busy at home. And when he later on opened door, he finds this Jabir radiallahu ta'ala sitting on his doorstep. Allahu Akbar. Excited to meet him. What brings you here? All the way from so far, 1 month's journey. He says, I have come just to listen, to verify. Did you hear Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioning this following hadith directly from his Mubarak lips? Did you hear it directly? He says, yes. And he quotes the hadith for him. And he's about to leave and he says, but why don't you sit? He said, no.
I've undertaken the journey just to listen to this hadith directly from you. خَشِيْتُ أَنْ أَمُوتْ أَوْ تَمُوتَ قَبْلَ أَنْ أَسْمَعَ.
I fear that I may pass away or you may pass away before I can hear this hadith from you. Last incident and we terminate. Rafi' bin Mu'alla radiallahu ta'ala, Sahabi of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So fortunate is in the masjid with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When suddenly Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tells him, أَلَا أُعَلِّمُكَ أَعْظَمَ سُورَةٍ فِي الْقُرْآنِ. O Rafi', should I not teach you the greatest surah of the Holy Quran? The greatest surah. He says, why not please, Bala? And then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam became preoccupied a bit. And then as they were leaving, Rafi' bin Mu'alla, again desirous of learning knowledge, desirous of learning good deeds and practicing upon it, he says, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, did you not tell me you're going to teach me the greatest surah of the Holy Quran? So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with shafqat and muhabbat holds his hand and then tells him, here is Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, Ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, Maliki Yawmiddin, Surah Fatiha. A'zamu suratin fil Quran. So this was the Sahaba. These were the Sahaba. When they heard about any good deed, they hastened to do the good deed. They did not procrastinate. They did not delay. They showed remorse and regret that the day goes past in their life and they did not do any extra good deed that particular day. It is a lesson for myself, for all of us. Let us see so many things in our lives. We have not yet got so many sunnahs in our life. So many good deeds we should be getting and so many bad deeds we should be abstaining from. Imagine Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the greatest of all the beings. After Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he would make dua, Allahumma inni as'aluka fi'l al-khairat wa tarka al-munkarat. Allah, I ask you the ability to do khairat, good deeds. You know, Allah, I ask you protection from evil deeds. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.